Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Boys and girls, friends and neighbors, cats and kittens, ladies and gentlemen, and friends all over the fruited plain and around the big blue marble. This is your old pal Rob, and you have landed on the Mind Changers podcast. And I thank you for your patience. The time has flown by me. Some of it has been procrastination on my part, and some of it has just been wall-to-wall bullshit. So I am happy to say that we're ready to go. Got some more things in the pipe, and we're going to make some more of it. So to talk about what we talked about before, this is the leadership series, right? And as a kind of refresher, we just sort of talked about who you needed to become, who you were, the conceptual foundation of being a leader, what it meant. And that this is true whether it means your home or your business or your job or wherever it is in your life. Here's the hard and fast of it, the long and short of it, the truth of it. Leadership equals ownership. If anywhere in front of you or near you, there is a piece of paper and perhaps an implement on which to with which to write this down. Leadership equals ownership. Okay? Not always this, the reverse is not always true, but leadership equals ownership, which means if you are going to be a leader, if you're going to be somebody who leads or manages or gets to a position where you are in charge of anything more than yourself, also true for yourself, but if you're going to lead other people, you have to own all of the problems. That means absolutely everything is your fault, right? Now, there's some science here, right? There's some science in the later stages of this particular thing that we talk about and say, you know, part of leadership is the process of influencing human behavior to achieve the goals. Now, whether that's to serve your customers or the public or just yourself, and then developing yourself and the teams that you work with in the organization itself into a future service. You'll pardon me while I have need a little bit more energy this morning, so pardon the background noise. The crux of it means that you're causing people to behave in a way that they might not otherwise do, which is fine. But when you do that, then the goal is to have them act as you want them to act. That is in step with the organization's beliefs or your personal beliefs or the company's beliefs or whatever. So that's rather the point, right? It doesn't mean it doesn't matter if you're on a football team or a soccer team or whatever it is, anybody can be that leader. But if you're in that position, and whether that position it comes from the personality or from being gifted the position or assigned the position, it means you are in charge of everything. It's easier to have everything be your fault, so you can unfuck all of the things that you fucked up. And I, speaking as a fuck up myself, I know you can screw a lot of things up when you do things not the right way. You have to be the owner because nobody below you, and I don't mean to say below you in a negative way, but in if you're looking at an organizational chart, if you're in a group, somebody below you on the organizational chart or next to you on your organizational chart, I don't care how you phrase it or put it, but those folks, they're not going to have the same level of ownership as you. If you are the owner of a company, you are, you know, you own Mike's Widgets or you own, you know, Bobco or whatever it is, and you're Mike and you make the widgets, or you're Bob and you're Bobco, whatever. The folks that work for you are never going to be as hungry or desirous or any of that stuff as you. So leadership equals ownership. You have to own their problems. You have to own your problems. You have to own everybody's stuff. to make them better. If anybody has seen the entirety of Ted Lasso, if you want somebody who is who has the essence of leadership down, it is the scriptwriters of that particular show. And your job as a leader, I don't care what you lead or how you lead them, have the experts teach them the tactical things that they need to learn, whoever they are, right? Whatever that means to your organization. So if somebody needs to be a plumber, if you have a plumbing company and you need other plumbers, you teach the plumbers what they need to know, right? They come to you with knowledge, you teach them your way of doing business. But then you make them better, you keep them safe, you make them their best selves. That is your job. There's no way around it. And especially as we careen into the future with all of the technology that's coming our way, it is absolutely imperative. Folks, spread it far and wide. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, telephone, telegraph. You can always tell a Swede, but you can't tell them much. Whatever it is, I'm Swedish, I get it. But ownership equals leadership. You have to own that stuff. But your job is making the people who work with you and for you better at who they are and make them their best selves. Now, can you do that if you are not your best self? I would argue you can't. I've been not my best self for a long time. And we're all working on our own stuff. Everybody is. But the reality is, if you're not your best self, it's hard for you to preach becoming everybody else's, being somebody else's best self, right? So that's why you have to be better. But that we'll attack that down the road. The foundation, ultimately, of leadership is just the focus on problem solving, judgment, and decision making, right? So that's most of the problems, most of the challenges of leadership is solving problems and making decisions and using good judgment. That's the majority of leadership, right? And if some folks aren't compatible with your organization, you got to go, like right now, you know. So that's kind of the challenge, right? So that's just a reverse look back, a look back of where we've actually been, right? And so bringing us to the moment. I'm certain that when we discuss leadership, we are talking about the area on a Venn diagram, which I'm sure everybody knows what that is. There's an intersection of where leaders are, where followers are, and the situation is. Leadership has to be displayed where all those three things intersect, right? So if you don't have that, then you have difficulties, and you have problems, and you have trouble making things happen, right? But you also have to find out what motivates the people that you lead. And to best do that, you need to figure out what motivates you, right? So motivation is largely hypothetical, right? But as a side note, and I'm tangent oriented some days, but it's secondary to discipline. So once you figure out what your motivation is, then you have to use discipline to get up and go do it. And that's true for exercise and how you eat and everything else. But I'll digress. I have digressed. Pardon me. Motivation is hypothetical. So nobody is always unmotivated or always motivated. Nobody is constantly up or constantly down. Situations in their lives dictate sometimes how motivated they are. Situations at the job or in their lives dictate how things are, how motivated they are. So you need to figure out you know, some what people's motivations are almost on a day-to-day basis, right? And if they move, and if they're shifting sands under your feet, so you don't understand how they're interacting with the world, then you can have a conversation with them and say, hey, where's your head at today? Are you feeling all right? Do you need to go home? What's the deal? Are you, you know? And if you can do that, do that. But not all problems are problems of motivation. You may have somebody who just isn't good at whatever they're doing, and they're looking for the leader to teach, right? You know, to fire up and to direct and sustain or manage or performance over the long term, or in short, to know the way, go the way, and show the way, right? So this is how I know to go. This is the way direction that we're going to go. Follow me, and so I'm going to show you the direction that we're going to go. So those three dimensions: know the way, go the way, show the way. Know the way, show the way, go the way. It's critical. So you're going to know the way. You're going to go that way. You're going to do the things yourself, and then you're going to show somebody else how to do it. Know the way, go the way, show the way. That's how it is, and it is. If you're looking for that second soundbite to follow, you know, to follow the ownership is leadership, right? Leadership equals ownership, and so that's critical. That's another part of leadership is creating or reminding the folks that you're leading, and sometimes yourself, what your motivation is, you know, and it kind of. In the emergency management universe, what happens a lot of times is there's a misguided notion of what's important, right? And I say that because sometimes in the emergency management universe, anyway, people forget the post, the idea of post. So what post is priorities, objectives, strategies, and tactics, right? So you have to figure out from a leadership perspective what you want your goal to be, right? And the post strategy is what is the highest priority, what a thing that I need to do to motivate the people that are around me? And what would be the objectives to make that happen? And what are some strategies that I can utilize to make that a reality? And then once the strategies are determined, then tactically, what is it that I do? And that gets me to the goal of providing leadership that makes a difference in motivation and ultimately makes a difference in the long run with all your personnel, right? So there are several different things that motivate people, several different schools of motivation. You've no doubt heard of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all of that stuff, and a few individual differences and all that kind of stuff. And there's some of that stuff wrapped up in learning styles as well. So, you know, there are a few kinds of ways that happens, but ultimately the basic things like that Maslow talks about, you know, food, shelter, all that kind of stuff. Want, you know, food, shelter, sex, everything else. Here's the thing. That's good. They have to meet the folks that you're going to lead. We'll be meeting their needs external to you, right? So it's not important necessarily that you meet their needs, because ultimately, you know, there are some needs that you cannot even discuss meeting at work, right? But the individual differences that exist might in the individual person might be a motivator for you, or might be a way in to you to provide motivation for these individuals. Like, you know, if you've got a nerdy individual and they want to go talk to, you know, somebody that they're attracted to, and they walk up to that person and they're just completely awkward, maybe you can help them get to a point where they're not awkward with, you know, meeting people and make them less socially awkward, which makes them a better, more comfortable person, and then a better, more comfortable employee or team member, and they get better at their jobs because they're less socially awkward, or they get better at living because they're less socially awkward, right? So that's the kind of thing. And you know, when I ran dispatch centers, we did a lot of what I called late stage parenting. And I think I've mentioned that before. You know, and there are things that parents didn't do for some of the folks that we were in charge of, and so we did that for them. We did those things for them. We taught them how to do certain things, and maybe they knew it, maybe they didn't, maybe they just needed somebody to be there with them, to hold their hand, to show them how to do it or what to do. And but it doesn't make a difference. Everybody wants to talk down to that, but these folks are here. They're here right now, and you have to be able to humble yourself to fix these problems, right? So the old school ways of doing things aren't always going to continue to work, especially with the younger, newer individuals, right? So, you know, applying motivating concepts, right, to layer on top of that, once you have motivation, you're going to ask yourself some questions, right? You know, how do you get the members of your work group, not to abuse the leave policies or, you know, complete everything on time with respect to directives or make the best practices happen or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Listen, you will do that. You'll be able to do that. You'll be able to apply all of these motivating concepts to these individuals. They're going to want to do the best that they can do if their motivation is such that they like being where they are. And if they're just there for a paycheck, some of that stuff you won't be able to do other than by force, right? Which you don't want to motivate by force if you don't have to. But sometimes you have to. But the reality is, you know, what motivates people is different. And if you understand the people that you're working with or yourself, you will get to the goal faster. You will get to the ultimate desire faster the more that you understand that stuff, right? And the challenge with hiring grown adults is they've seen some shit. They've been through some shit. They understand things. And so maybe they're not willing to, you know, to eat the same level of crap you might have been as an older person or somebody who was a leader and got themselves into the ownership mindset sooner. Maybe that was the thing that didn't happen. Maybe that's what didn't happen for them, and you have to instill that in them. Then do it. Stop whining about it. Stop complaining about it, and just do it. You know what I mean? That's the thing. You always have to bet on people. Richard Branson is famous for saying that the customer is seldom right. So you do things, you take care of the people, and this is something that I've said before he said it. I think. You take care of the people who take care of the people, right? So if you do that stuff, if the folks that you are in charge of, that you are being a leader for or with, feel in place and secure and in good stead, they're going to remain motivated. You know what I mean? They're going to remain disciplined. They're going to be more capable and more satisfied with their job on the other side of it, right? And so, you know, I mean, you can dig into some of that stuff. You can look at things like, if you want to get real deep into the weeds on some of this stuff, you can dig into, you know, some of the Myers-Briggs things or, you know, like the 16 personality test or the Big Five. The Big Five is a good one, you know, and you can take a poll of what you know to be your highest performers in your organization or your area of expertise and start to hire people who ultimately, especially in an organization, and you know, I mean, pick people in your life who will meet your faults, meet the organizational emptiness, right? So the gaps in the organization or the gaps in your life. You don't want to hire a bunch of people who can do the same thing you can do. You want to hire people who can do the things or be best at the things that you suck at or the things that you're no good at. And sometimes, you know, using the Big Five or using, you know, the 16 personalities or whatever you're comfortable with using and whatever, you know, if you've got a legal department, whatever they say you can use, but it's, this is the thing. You can you don't even have to guess. If you're bad at reading people, do it somewhat scientifically. I mean, it's not precise. It's not, you know, it's not 100%, but it's more than nothing. You know, and that's, that leads into individual differences. And we'll close, I think, just a little bit on individual differences. There's a game called Telephone. And if you know what Telephone is, that's fine. Or Kim's Game, or as it used to be known when I was a kid. And that's just telling one story about one thing, and then having that story told to everybody in the room. You'll get as many people as there are in the room, you'll get a different accounting of all of it, right? And just because that's the way the human brain works, they fill in gaps, they think they deal with things they don't understand or whatever, and everybody's different. But what you want is the people that tell the most accurate story all the way around. Your goal is to minimize the errors in that process. And that's going to be ultimately, that's going to be the goal, right? So again, if you influence human behavior to achieve the goals and then develop the individuals or yourself for service, that's the thing. That's what gets you past a certain point. And you know, that's what closes the gap. So with all of that in mind, keep an ear out because we're going to be pushing things out this week, at least one more, maybe two if I'm lucky. And we'll go from there, and we'll continue on in this series, because I think it's teaching me as much. It's bringing things up that I knew before. It's bringing things up that I've done before. And I'm bringing some of my best stuff back to light that I haven't used in a little while, but it's still very, very accurate. So I hope you've gotten something out of it. I hope it's worked for you. And, you know, we're Mind of Mind Changers on all the socials. So keep a lookout for that. I don't have any emails, so I'll have an email by the next time we get together and by the next time you're here to listen. And thank you very much for each and every one of you who listen. We're getting a few more. We're growing a little bit every day, and I appreciate that. The more I do, the more it grows. And I'm hoping to share good things. And if you've got anything you'd like me to talk about, please don't hesitate to reach out, because I am more than willing to do what I can and help wherever possible. I'm a helper from the beginning. So thank you very much for your time and your attention, and please go out there and be excellent to each other. Bye-bye.